Welcome to Pass the Mic. In this episode, Jessica and Lauren talk about their unique hearing experiences.
Hi, my name is Lauren.
Hi, my name is Jessica.
And we are going to be talking about our individual hearing experiences in the field of child and youth care.
So just a little bit of background for me. I was born deaf and I have a cochlear implant.
And just for me, I wear two bilateral hearing aids. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. So one of the first initial questions that we kind of wanted to discuss is, how does being deaf and or hard of hearing influence or affect our experiences as a child and youth care student?
Just like in classrooms, child and youth care, it's like a lot of group work. So it's like impossible to hear everybody because everybody has ideas they want to share. A lot of people in the child and youth care field are very passionate about it, but you have to be able to hear what they're saying in order to learn what you need to learn to be a child and youth care worker, and that can be really hard.
Yeah. Do you think that being in child and youth care, that the students are more understanding of what it's like to have a hearing disability?
I have to say yes and no. There's some people who are more understanding than others, and other people kind of just look at me like I'm choosing it as an excuse, but I'm not choosing it as an excuse at all. It's just my reality.
Yeah.
What about for you?
I think that going through grade school as kind of being the only one who ever had a hearing disability, I think that in the field, because there is the possibility of working with families and youth who have more physical disabilities, I think there's an understanding, but not fully there in that way. I think that, yes, they're willing to support you and like help you, but at the same time, there's still that uncertainty of not knowing maybe what it fully looks like.
Do you think it would be helpful if, like, the instructor repeated information are saying in the classroom?
I think that's definitely helpful, especially when you talk about group work, too, or even just being in a group situation, having group members kind of repeat what they said, in a way. Because I know what it's like. You don't always get that front seat in the front of the lecture hall, and then you miss something, and that's the important information that you missed, kind of thing.
Yeah, and then you have to like go home and teach yourself that important information. It will take you hours because you've got to do twice the amount of homework.
Definitely. For
and
sure.
I think like being in classrooms as a child and youth care student, you get put in the spotlight a lot because I have an FM system.
Yeah.
You do too.
Yeah, I do.
So it's like you have to go up in the beginning of class. You have to give them your FM system. The whole class is watching you. They're like, oh, what's that pen? And then the instructor can maybe sometimes give you an awkward look because they don't really know what it is. You have to explain it. You have to double explain yourself.
Yeah, no, it's definitely intimidating too because you know it has to be done, but you don't necessarily really want to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's kind of just, you mentioned it's the spotlight. It's kind of allowing, but everyone else to see a part of you maybe that you're not willing to share with them yet. And them already putting a label on you before they even know you, in a way.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. I think that over the years, I've come to like accept the fact that I'm different and I'm not like everybody else. But I think I'm still like working on embracing it because like it's 2019. Being different is still not normalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. No, I agree with you. Okay. Our next question is, what do you wish others knew about individuals who are deaf or hard of hearing?
I think that there's always the assumption out there that you can't do stuff. Like, oh, you can't do that. But for example, if you think about it, there are some jobs out there that I can never do because of the fact that I'm deaf and hearing impaired. For example, I can never be a flight attendant. But like, how cool would that be? I could fly around the world.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm happy to be where I am in child and youth care.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I think that. Just what you said. I think that people shouldn't assume that we aren't fully capable of doing things that they are too. Like we look and we act the same as everyone else. Yeah, so yeah, we need to wear little machines and robots on our ears to help us hear better in certain circumstances, but it doesn't mean we can't. Okay, well, yeah, that flight attendant example. But do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I've had a teacher when I was in high school who I go up to my FM system and I'm like, hey, this is me. I've sent you emails before and I need this accommodation for class or whatever. And he completely denied me. He's like, oh, I talk loud. I move around the classroom. You'll be fine, kind of thing. Whereas I had to do that in front of like 30 other high school students, yeah, all looking at me kind of like, oh, he just denied you, kind of thing. And that was really embarrassing. So, and having to talk to him afterwards, being like, okay, no, this is not the case. You need to wear this, right? So I think there's...
Do you think that you were expected to hear better in those situations?
I think so. I think, yeah, people kind of expect you to have that expectation over you.
Yeah.
So there's just that, there's still that stigma of having like invisible disabilities.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
I think that we experience like ableism more than the average person would. Because like they're like, oh, you can't do that. Oh, like you need to hear this much. But that's not the reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever have people kind of asking you if you've heard that or if you like double checking, did you get that? Kind of thing, or is there just that assumption that you're good?
Yeah, sometimes, and I don't like it because it puts me on the spot. I'm the kind of person, if I didn't hear something at this point, I'll just ask them myself. But then sometimes people get annoyed, even like my friend in classroom, people get annoyed because I have to ask more than once,
yeah,
because I don't know what they're saying. Yeah. But I think it's like just that stuff. It's like, it can take a toll on your mental health because you end up overthinking everything. You get anxiety that you have to be better. You have to work 4 times harder than the other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What is something that maybe a person outside of CYC, they should know about what it's like to have a hearing disability? Because if we look at how, like we've talked about, how people in child and youth care should, well, ideally should be more understanding, what would maybe someone outside of the field you would say to them?
I don't think I would necessarily say anything because even though I experienced this in child and youth care, I still experience it in my personal life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really thankful for the people who actually take the time to get to know me beyond my hearing impairment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's not all we are.
Yeah, exactly.
Hearing impairment.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The next question is, what kind of hurdles have you personally faced and how did you overcome them?
I don't know. I think what's been a struggle for me, even though we've talked about kind of some experiences already, is that because I wasn't born deaf, I've experienced my hearing loss due at an older age when I was in elementary school. So I haven't experienced or maybe know of what it's like to be deaf compared to other individuals. And I've never really been kind of or had that label of being in that community because mm-hmm. you don't see my hearing aids. People don't really know about my hearing disability until kind of it's a necessity, like I need to talk about it kind of thing. So it's just kind of that presenting, when you have to present it, no one expects it coming because that's when they label, that's when they give you that label.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, but you don't know me. And that's not necessarily all that defines me. And that's that awkward kind of situation too.
Yeah.
Kind of
you always
thing.
Have to accommodate yourself too.
Yeah. No, yeah. There's kind of that constant having to accommodate
you. And you have to worry about being judged.
Yeah, and that's not fair. I don't think that's fair.
No, absolutely right? Not.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't think it's fair to have to worry about being judged. But at the same time, being in child and youth care field in general, and like after going through everything that we've went through, gives us so much resilience to be able to help those that we work with.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think I've had lots of experiences working with younger youth, kind of just transitioning into kind of understanding what it's like to have a hearing disability and how to be able to advocate for themselves in school, because you really have to be able to do that, because you're not always going to have someone there for you. You have to really be able to support yourself, and that's been a really eye-opening experience for me, because you think about your little younger self who's going through that same experience, and then you can kind of use all of your past to kind of help them and support them too. So I like what you said. I like that idea.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, when I was younger, I used to get bullied a lot, and I used to be called, like, the deaf girl, or, like, retarded. I hate that word, but I used to be called retarded. And, like, I just remember, like, one time when I was in sixth grade, and I was in band class, and I was playing a clarinet. And that's actually really hard to do when you're deaf, because you have to be able to hear the notes in order to play them. So I played this clarinet for like a whole semester in grade 6, but then I went to see my audiologist for a checkup, and she told me she was really proud and amazed with me because I was one of the first deaf persons she's ever heard of playing a clarinet, because it's not generally something that somebody who is hearing impaired and or deaf would do. I just love to prove people wrong. You say I can't do something, rush me.
Do you feel as if you have to be proving people wrong a lot?
Oh, yeah. You have to do it every day, even though you might not realize it. But then when you go home and you self-reflect on your day, you self-reflect on what someone did, you realize, like, wow, like, I was actually advocating for myself in that moment. But you don't think about it in the moment. You think of it, like, after, when you self-reflect.
Yeah, and that's actually pretty awesome. Being able to especially stand up for yourself, too. I think that's really admirable. And I think that's something people don't necessarily understand, that that's something people have to do for themselves.
Yeah, I don't think people necessarily see it. Like, sometimes they may think that you or I are being, like, defensive, but we're not. We're just advocating for ourselves. Okay, so our next question is, what could be done better in the classroom setting and or out in the field? So, I mean, we kind of already touched on this subject a little bit, but let's expand on it some more. What are your experience like in the classroom in the Sheldon Youth Care program? Like, how has it been for you so far?
For me, I think it's been, I think I was definitely more worried just because coming into my first year of university, I think that was really daunting on itself. But just having to know that I had to, like, go to my professors and be like, this is who I am, I think that itself is awkward. And it will, right? That's initial awkward, like, encounter, especially going in front of students. But then again, you have the idea that the people in this field are going to be more understanding and more accommodating, which I felt really good about this year, which is, I think, really awesome. But I think there's still that uncertainty, just because people don't necessarily know, again, what it's like for people who are deaf or hard of hearing. And there's not that same understanding. Like, I thought it was great when our professor introduced the two of us, because they're like, oh my God, there's someone else out there who is kind of like me. And I think that's really special in itself too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because like after the professor introduced us, I had all the other professors asking me, oh, did you meet Lauren? And I'm like, yes.
Right. I think that's what's really cool, especially because when you think you're alone and you think you're the only one who's going through, not necessarily that we have the same experiences, but on some level, I think we can connect in some way.
I think that we have a lot of overlap in our experiences, which makes it easy for us to be friends and be able to share our story right now.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of a really positive thing about my first experience in university. But again, there's still, I think, stuff that can be not changed, but adapted in a way, I guess. What about you? What do you think could be done better in the classroom?
I feel like there's a long way to go still in the classroom. I think it's gotten a lot better since I started university, which is like a long time ago, if we're being honest. But I still wish, like, instructors were, like, just the university in general will require instructors to have closed captions on all videos that they demonstrate in classrooms.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe perhaps if we're doing group work, maybe like occasionally have the instructor repeat the important information that might be on like my final exams or that might be critical into writing an assignment or something that's going to benefit me in my career. I just think that those things would be really helpful for me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that, I can think of so many examples of videos that have been blurry or the audio quality is just terrible and you have no option to use closed captioning.
Have you ever watched YouTube closed captions? Closed captions are crap, but we're smart because with YouTube closed captions, you have to put two and two together and make sense of it for yourself.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of work when you think about it, but we do it. I just personally do it, like, without realizing it.
Yeah, I think that's our superpower.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that there's anything that could be done better, like, out in the field, personally? Like, what about, like, maybe you have experience from, like, your placement or something like that? Or just maybe, it doesn't even have to be, like, an experience, like, in Sheldon Youth Care, but maybe, like, an experience that where you felt degraded or something in some kind of way.
I think I've been lucky enough in my practicum to be or to have supervisors that are really accommodating of me. I've definitely come across situations where, like, my hearing aids will die in the middle of the day. And I'm sitting in the classroom and I'm changing my hearing aid battery, then all kids come up to me and be like, oh my god, Miss Lauren, like, what is this? And there's, of course, like, they're young and their minds are curious and they're gonna ask me a bazillion million weird questions about what my hearing aids are. And that, I think, initially it doesn't bother me because, again, like, oh, they're little kids, are so innocent. Whereas if an adult or someone my age were to come to me and talk to me about that, I think that would be awkward in itself.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different conversation doing it with kids versus doing it with adults.
Yeah, and I think I don't have much experience out in the workforce, but that in itself to me is still just weird.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, you don't see my hearing aids. It's only, like, in those circumstances, oh, when they die, like, I need to change batteries.
Yeah.
Normally they're not. I wouldn't necessarily if I had to talk about, like, my identity, I wouldn't necessarily initially go to my hearing aids because to me they're I forget about them. So I think, I don't know, it's a little more difficult for me to think or talk about in that sense.
Yeah, I understand. I think, like, for me, like, sometimes I'll identify I'm hearing impaired, but sometimes I don't necessarily do it off the bat because I like to give people a chance to get to know me.
Yeah.
But, like, with the little kids, they notice that I talk different. So the way I approached it in my experience, it was my placement 1 year, and the way I approached it is, there's a little boy, he has, like, blonde curly hair, and he's like, why do you talk like that? And I said, why do you have blonde curly hair? And he looks at me and he laughs, and I said, everybody's different, right? And he just smiled and said, yeah, and they just continued to laugh more. But I tried to teach them a lesson that everybody is different on this spot without necessarily going too much into it. But then usually a little bit after, I'll have to explain it, like, you know, I don't hear like you. My ears are different from yours. That's how I explain it to little kids. But with adults, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, with adults, we should know better. But some people don't.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure. I feel like some adults that I've come across are a little nosy, a little more. There's kind of that weird society norm that people with, again, like we mentioned before, people with disabilities aren't as capable as everyone else.
Yeah.
And again, it's that level of not knowing and then all of a sudden knowing and giving you that label.
Yeah, for sure. I hope in the future that it will be normalized to be hearing impaired. It will be normalized to be from a different culture, from, you know, anything. Like, there's so many diverse people out there. And, like, I just have that much more respect for people who are different. Like, I'm interested. I want to know what their story is because I'm different too. So maybe I can share my story with them. And we can learn something from one another. Even though somebody else might not have a hearing disability or any disability at all. But maybe they're different in the fact that they come from another country and they can relate to me in some ways because we experience the same discriminations.
Yeah.